Okay. Good morning, beloved. Welcome to another edition of our podcast. How important is the word of God to you on this January 28th day, 2025? I'm your host, Brother H. Cotton Jr. I'm the pastor of the St. James Missionary Baptist Church. And I pray that all is well with you. Speaking of prayer, let us have a word of prayer before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for awakening us. And we thank you, Lord, for watching over us as we slumber and slept through the night. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as our day, for some, it's just beginning. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to lead, guide, and direct us as we go through this day. And during this time that we're spending, even by way of social media and technology, we pray, Lord, that you will be with us, guiding our thoughts, our speech, every action, Lord, that you might get the glory out of what we say, what we do, how we govern ourselves. We thank you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that you allow me this opportunity. I pray, Lord, that you would allow me to be devoid of my own vanity and ego and pride, and just allow you to have control over this time. This I do pray in Jesus' name, man, for his sake. Amen. Okay, this is actually our first actual topic, our podcast where we are focus around our topic. And as some of you know, and for the benefit of those who don't, the theme for our podcast is, as you see pointed, how important is the word of God to you? I don't know if this is a typical podcast. I don't know what podcasts are already out there. I know that there are many. But for us here, and I say us, I'm always referring to St. James Missionary Baptist Church, not just me personally. But what we focus on here is the Word of God. I'm not into a lot of titles and things of that nature. I've told in the past, and I'll say it again for those who are concerned about any credentials that I have, I always invite you to go to our website, which you'll find at St. James, excuse me, St. James MBC Philly.com. That is STJAMES MBC Philly.com. And if that's a problem for some of you to write this down, you can always reach me, I guess, through this Facebook page or even by phone, or there's a number of different ways, and I'll make sure you get some a little before we dismiss. The topic of our discussion today, very simple, and that is how important is the Word of God to a young believer? And we preached about this not too long ago. We've even discussed it at our Bible study. And again, I'll make sure that you can have access to that as well. And I said that we would talk about this during our podcast to give some who might desire to have some input and comments on this subject, or, as I say, on this topic. And our main focus is going to be coming from Psalms, the 119th division, Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. We'll be looking at some other verses in the scriptures, but this is where our main focus is coming from. And for the benefit of those who may be indisposed, maybe you're in your vehicle or something, I'm just going to read a few verses for you, starting at the 9th verse of Psalm. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Verses 9 through 16 from the 119th Division of Psalms. So how important should the Word of God be to a young believer? Now, I want to pose a couple of questions out there. One, when he speaks or he's writing, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? Some of you are saying, well, young is relative. I was traveling some time ago, not too long ago, within the last 3 years or so. And a gentleman came up to me and said to me, "Hey, young fella, can I talk to you?" And I said, "Well, it's been a long time since anybody called me young. Yeah, I am in my past my mid-60s, and you calling me young." When I spoke to this brother was in his, I believe he was late 80s or approaching his 90s. And I said, "Yeah, you can call me young fella. I'll receive that from you." You know, because he's old enough to be my father, okay, and almost my grandfather at that time. And you know, we proceeded to talk, but what I'm saying is some of you are saying, okay, what is young? Okay, to some people, 60 is relatively, now I won't say young, but it's not old. When I was a kid, you reaching 60 years of age, you were considered old. But, you know, of course, medicine has made some leaps and bounds, and people have become a little bit more health conscious and those type of things. So people don't view age as just a number like that. So we could be making an argument. What this writer is saying, how can a young person, you know, age, you can play around with that. But what if you say, but what if I'm looking at young person? Okay, he says, stay on the path of purity. So we're talking about somebody who is walking in the way of the Lord. Okay, that's a safe assumption, walking in the path of purity. We're not going to split hairs over that. I don't think we are. I mean, a path of purity. Is there such a path outside of the realm, you know, of the Lord's righteousness? I don't think so. But again, you have the opportunity to comment and speak on that. So we're talking about a person that's on that path, a young person. Would it be too big of a stretch to say that youth could be somebody that's young in their Christian experience, young in their Christian walk, young in their beliefs, their Christian beliefs? You know, that's something for us to, you know, put out there. And I'm doing it, and I welcome always your comments on this. So we're looking at this. Okay, the writer is writing, how can a young person, okay, stay on this path? You know, so you're on the path. You're on the path of purity. How do you stay on it? And this is a challenge. I dare say that when we think, if we're going to put our minds on age as youth, some of us have children, or you might be a child. When I say child, I would say anywhere from maybe 10, 11, up through your teens. I'm thinking in that area right now, maybe even 20 or so. I'm thinking around that age right now. I'm not limiting our focus on just that age, but that's where I'm looking at right now, because I'm thinking of some young people that may be still in school, okay, and we know that there's so many challenges. I don't care whether they're in the urban area, in the suburbs, in the rural area of the country. There are so many challenges for our young people. Not just today, it's always been that way. Some of us who are older, maybe even having families of our own, you've been young too. And it's always been challenging. Being in school with other young people, it's always types of challenges. It's always things that are putting you in that position of all types of peer pressure and things of that nature. So yes, if you happen to be one of the young people who are committing yourself to the Lord, you want to walk in the ways of God. You want to please Him with your life. And yes, you said, okay, yes, God, you died for me, but I want to live for you, and those type of things. And you're doing the best you can to walk and stay in this path of purity. But with all, man, with the parties that may be available to you, with the different outings that young people and places that young people go to, with the temptations that come with just being young. Yeah, let's go out. We're gonna go out and maybe drink a little bit and entertain ourselves with some other activities. We're gonna go out, smoke a little bit. I'm not saying what you're smoking and things that you've heard your parents, maybe even grandparents, used to do when they were young. And you said, well, they're still here. It was good for them. All of these things are challenges. We take them for granted. Those of us who have gotten older, some of us seem to have forgotten that you were young at one time too, and forgot some of the challenges that you were facing. But you gotta remember, this is what our young people are going through now. And then at the same token, you're trying to live a godly life. What if you only one that's saved in your household? You're a young person, okay? Maybe a teenager. You got sisters, brothers, maybe even mother and father. Nobody in the household is trying to live for God. And you're going to have challenges even in your own home. The conversations that you have, that you would love to have with your siblings, maybe they're laughing at you. Maybe they just don't understand, and maybe they don't care. They're choosing not to walk the same way that you've chosen to walk. It's a whole lot of different things. I can just give list after list, things after things. So again, how important should the word of God be to the young people who are walking this way? With everything else that's challenging them, where does the word of God fit? Let's look into the scriptures a little bit further. He says here, okay, when he raises the question, how can a young person stay on the path? Then he answers it by saying this, by living according to your word. Some people say, praise God, that's the answer. But I don't want to leave it right there, because this is where the word comes in. He said, what do you mean? Well, what part of the word do I use? Where do I get it from? How do I find it? I'm young at this. I'm a young person. Again, not just young in age, but I may be young in my Christian walk. I have not quite learned, or I'm still learning how to navigate through the Bible, how to be able to understand it, how to be able to rightly divide it. I'm still learning these things. So I still get confused in what I should do. There are some of us who consider ourselves mature Christians, and some of us view the scriptures as a type of medicine prescription, so to speak, that when I have a problem, an ailment, something that I need to do, I can look into the scriptures and apply the scriptures for that case. And I'm saying that, I'm saying that purposely because a lot of times we have people who take a word of God that sounds good for them and they want to put it where they think it fits, and it may not always do that. You got people who say they go strictly on what they've heard has been said in a word instead of finding it or looking at it exactly in the Word of God. Some of those things, like if you make one step, he'll make two, and you can search all day long, you're not going to find that in the Bible. But it's been said so much that everybody says that's in the Bible. You hear people say things like, oh, yeah, the Bible says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but that is not scripture. Everything that comes, think about it this way. Everything that comes out of your mouth is not necessarily your words. You may be repeating something that someone else said, and you're telling somebody this. And sometimes that is the case, even in the Word of God, because some of you will say, well, I know that eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's not the gospel. That's not Jesus' teaching. That's not the Word of God. Because how can you tell me an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and then turn around and tell me to turn the other cheek? There's a problem there. There's a problem there. But if you tell me in some case he was quoting a law, a tradition that was among people, a lot of us say, well, I know that that's what they call Hammurabi's law, a ruler, an ancient ruler, and I'm not here to teach history like that. And that's what people were fo some people were following. So we got to be careful. So you say, all right, I want to live according to the Word of God, but I'm not sure how to do that. Okay, well, let's look into the scriptures a little bit. Okay. In Psalm 119, in this 11th Psalm, look what he says here, in this 11th verse, rather. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, look at this here. This is a young person. I want to live by the word of God. He says, so I've taken the word of God and I've got it deep in the recesses of my being. I have it deep in my heart. And I often use the example, like those of us who have our cell phones, our tablets, our computers, or whatever device you're using, is filled with information and access to information. But all of it is not visible on your screens right away. If you want to know something in particular, you'll punch a few keys and type a couple of sentences maybe and bring the information to the screen. Well, this is what the writer is saying here. I've been reading the word. I've been reading your Bible, and it's in me. I've got it in the recesses of my heart. I've hidden it in me. And when I need it, God, you who will be my teacher as well, will bring it out and bring it to me. Now, some of y'all say, oh, well, you calling this magic? No. He tells us again, in John, the 14th chapter, okay, in the 26th verse, you'll find these words written. He says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, this is Jesus talking, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So again, the things that you have learned, the word that you have been exposed to, that you're getting, okay, and that you have gotten, He'll remind you of that. He'll bring it up, like bringing it up to the screen. He'll bring that up to you. I mean, some of you already had some of these experiences where somebody has said something to you, and you say to yourself, "Wow, all of a sudden, this verse popped in my head." Okay, I didn't think I remembered it. I didn't try to memorize it, but it just came up. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He reminded you. He reminded you, okay, of things that that's been said to you. That don't mean he's just said it to you audibly, that you heard it in the ether up in the air. And Lord, and I'm not saying that the Lord can't do that, because we read in the Bible where he has done just that. But the sermons that you've heard, you didn't realize it stuck. The witnesses that you've heard from other people, the conversations, the godly conversations that you've heard from many other people, passing by, you heard, may have heard a broadcast on the radio, and so many different places you have heard the word of God and don't even realize you heard it. But it's in there. It's in there. So he's saying, okay, you live according to your word and to God's word. He said, okay, so for me to walk, okay, for me to walk righteously in the word on the path of purity, okay, for me to walk, that's what he's saying here, for me to have a righteous walk, for me to live a godly life, for me to govern myself in such a manner that the Lord can get the glory out of my living. For me to do this, I have to live according to his word. He said, okay. And we've already read where the Holy Spirit takes root in this. Now, granted, we're talking about somebody already that is saved. That means when that person has accepted the Lord, you mean the Lord is now become Lord and Savior of their life. What also comes with this is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. So when you're going around saying, something told me, something led me this way, something had me go this way, for those of us who are believers, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He leads us, he guides us, he directs us, he teaches us, he reminds us, as the scripture is saying to us here. This is what he does. Okay. All right. We know that all scripture, okay, is God breathed. It comes from the breath of God, his very breath. Okay. And it's good for us to instruct us to do all of these things that we need so that we can be completely even equipped. To do what? Now the Lord is keeping you. He saved you. He's sustaining you. He's protecting you, doing all this here. Why? So you could just twiddle your thumb and wait for him to come and bring you home? No, he has a job for you to do. Okay. Did he not tell us in the same word to study to show ourselves approved unto him? A workman, a workman. A workman, that means you're on the job. A workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, the word of God, rightly divided. This is what we were talking about earlier. To be able to take the word of God and apply it where it is supposed to be applied, not where I want to. Okay, I mean, some people say, yeah, well, milk is good for you. And in a lot of ways, it is. But some people say, well, wait a minute, if you have an upset stomach or if you have fever, we were taught milk is not something that you want to be, because that milk would turn right around and sour in your stomach. Now you feel like you're even more sicker. So yes, everything God made, we know that is good. And we know that this milk may be good, but it's not good for this. Well, that's the same way with certain scriptures. All the scripture is good. You apply it where it needs to be applied. Where it needs to be applied, it is good. Okay, but some scriptures don't work correctly in certain places. I mean, I'm just telling it straight like it is. Okay. And I can go on, give listen, 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 but that's another lesson for another time. That's what he means by rightly dividing the word of truth, putting it in the right place where it's supposed to be, where it can be effective and do what it is supposed to do. So now this is all part of it. Okay, so I want to live to his word. I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to do to use the word like that. So I'm studying it, I'm reading it. Okay. This may sound old-fashioned to some people, but it works. Before I even begin studying, reading the Word of God, I am communicating with God. I'm talking to God. In other words, I'm praying to the Lord. Lord, grant me the wisdom, the understanding that I might rightly divide your word. I'm involving. I want to make sure I'm engaging and involving the Holy Spirit in my studying so that he can teach me. He can open up my understanding. And there are times when I'm reading and there's some things I say that I don't get. It's good to be associated with a Bible believing fellowship. Now, don't be fooled, beloved. I don't want you to go out here just because you said, I'm saved now. I believe God now. I want to, do what he says to do. Don't think that every door that's opening that mentions God is a Bible-believing fellowship. When I say Bible-believing, I mean a place where the Word of God is being taught. The Word of God is being preached. The word of God takes preeminence over everything in there. It's not about how fancy the building looks. It's not about us bringing a whole bunch of money and doing a whole bunch of stuff. And the word of God may come six, seven rungs down a ladder. No, the word of God has to be the focus of this fellowship. And the word of God means everything that is being taught in and through the word. That's what we're about. And that's where you should be. That's where you should find yourself. You should find yourself with people, at least somebody that can, we wouldn't use the word mentor, and I don't have a problem with that. Somebody that can mentor you as you're studying, reading the word of God, not into everything that's just popular. But you, what, look what he's saying here. Okay? I want to live according to your word. And watch what he says here next. I seek you with all my heart. This young person here desires to walk in God's way. That's their complete desire. You saying, well, wait a minute. I might be in school, but I still want to walk God's way. I may be out here working. I still want to walk God's way. I have a family, maybe a young family, just got married, a young wife, a young husband, but we still want to walk God's way. In everything that we do, we want it to be God's way. We want to always be in the center of God's way and his will and his word for us. Always. So that's why he says, man ought always to pray. In other words, man ought always to stay in communication with the Lord in all that we do. That don't mean every time I'm ready to do something, I got to drop down to my knees and, so everybody can see that I'm praying. It's nothing that can hinder me from saying, even within myself, as I'm walking down the street, I could be on the bus, I could be even in my car. Lord, I need your guidance here. I need your direction here. And he'll do this. He'll do this for you. Okay. So yes, this young man desires with all of his heart. Look at how sincere he is. And his wanting, okay, to stay in the path of purity, he realizes also that I can't do it. Not myself. Look at that. How many times have we said, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, and we fall short. People start the New Year's resolution. And they even got a day now, a quitting day. The world even says, okay, yeah, you started for a while. You might do it for 2, 3 weeks. And on this given day, this is quitter's day for resolution. That's, isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Wouldn't you rather do as the Lord directs? First off, he tells us what? When he gives us the example to pray, we're praying for daily bread every day. It lets us know that I hear folks saying, okay, I'll go to church on Sunday. As if just going to church, just hearing the word on Sunday is supposed to keep you all week long from to the next Sunday. One, you have no guarantee you're going to be there the next Sunday, but the Lord encourages us to pray every day. What does it say in what we call it all the Our Father prayer? Give us this day. That lets you know a couple of things. One is you when you wake up that day in the beginning of your day, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, give us this day what we need to sustain us. This day, not just physical bread to sustain you, but give me what I need to sustain me physically, what I need to sustain me mentally, what I need to sustain me spiritually. You know, I'm always, and we are always to invoke the aid of the Lord in what we do. He wants to be involved in what we do. He's not going to force himself upon us. He's not going to do that. Did he not say in his word, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm not going to bulk up my way. The Lord is telling us, I'm not going to bulk up my way into your life, into your abode. I'm not going to do that. Okay? But if you allow me to come in, I'll come in. And what will I do when I get there? I'm going to fellowship with you. I'll sup with you and you with me. That's what he's saying. We're going to fellowship together. Oh, man. But look at what he says. I'm not. That thing where you say something is telling me, again, something is, I got a feeling about this. The Lord is knocking. Knocking. Let me in. Invite me in. I have something to tell you. I have something to share with you. I have a word for you. I'm knocking that I can give it to you. And he said, open the door. Allow me in. And we'll fellowship. Okay, so now you got this young person here. Okay, I want to stay on the path. So we've already established he's already on it. You already saved. You believe God. You've made your step. You're stepping to hands. Okay. All right. Now, how do I maintain this with all the temptations, with all of the things that the world has to offer? Okay. I want to stay on the righteous path. He said, we've already read. He says, okay, I'm gonna live according to God's word. I need to know what part of his word and what I need to apply every day and to what circumstance, what situation I'm in. Okay, how do I handle this? What does the word have to say about this? So I need to learn how to do that. And he says, I mean this. He's letting us know, I mean this with all of my heart. I'm seeking him. I'm not just pondering this and it's a whim. I'm seeking God. I'm talking to him. I'm praying to him. Lord, I want to walk your way. Then he says, what? Don't let me stray from your commands. See, don't let me get all out there. Don't let me go far away from there. Don't let me get away from what you are telling me to do, what you have commanded me to do. Don't let me do this. He realizes, I can't do this, Lord. I need you. Don't let me do this. Okay? And then let him know, Lord, I've hidden your word deep in my heart. I mean it. I may not learn but 3 verses or 2 verses, but I'm living by that. I mean that. I mean it. I mean it. And I need you to help me to stay with it. Now, this is what he's saying. Okay, and why is he doing this? Again, look at what he said, that I might not sin against you. I'm not worried about my friends, say. I'm not worried about family. I'm not worried about pals, buddies. I'm not worried about the people on my block, my neighbors. I'm not worried about anybody, Lord. I'm doing this because I want to walk in your way of purity, and I want to do this. And I know, okay, that walking your way will keep me from sinning against you. I don't want to disappoint you, God. Look at that. He's not thinking about himself. He really, it's not about me. I don't want to disappoint you, God. I don't want to disobey your commands. So this is what he's saying here. All right. So he goes on. Now, watch this. He's asking God for help. He's asking him. He's praying. Okay, when you pray, you ain't gonna do but one or two things, people say. You're either gonna be asking God or you're gonna be telling him. But look what else should we do. He says, praise be to you, Lord. He's praising God, he's worshiping him, he's praising him. Okay, he asks God to help him to be obedient to him. It's not about to be obedient to God. It's not, again, it's not about this young man. This young man is sincere. This young person is sincere about their relationship with God. Okay? He asked God for his help. He praised God. He worshiped the Lord. Okay, he does that. Okay? And again, he asked him, teach me your laws. Teach me your commands. Teach them to me. Now watch this. He can read. A lot of us said, I can read. The Ethiopian eunuch, when Philip was, before he talked with him, he said, I can read. And when Philip asked him, do you understand what you read? He said, no. I have nobody to explain it to me, to make it make sense to me. So this young man said, yes, I'm reading. I've hidden your word deep within my heart. So yes, I can read, but I don't fully understand it. I don't fully have it. Teach me. Teach me. He's talking to the Lord. Teach me. Okay. Let your Holy Spirit work. Okay, on me. Teach me. Okay. Teach me your laws. I don't want to just read it. I want to understand it. I want to know it. I want to know it to the point that I can live by it. Some of you are saying, are you sure that's what you want? Let me pause here and go right over to Romans. Some of you might want to write this down. Romans, the first chapter, in the 17th verse. This is one of the pillars at our church that we use and we stay by it all the time. Because what does it say? It says, for therein is the righteousness, the 16th and 17th verses of Romans. Okay, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Watch this. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To everyone that believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. To everyone that believes. Now stay with this. The 17th verse says what? For therein is the righteousness of God. Remember, this is what he's talking about. I want to live righteously. I want to live, when you talk about impurity, I want to live righteously. When we were kids, we were always taught in vacation Bible school, what does righteous mean? It means right living. And there's no right living outside of the Word of God, that he teaches us how to live right. Okay. Okay, so therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now watch this. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Those who are believers, those who are saved, shall live by faith. He said, yes, we know we've read in the Word where he says, without faith it is impossible to please him. You're not gonna you're not, it's not about you doing something in hand and try to get on God's good side. But if you do not have faith, you're not gonna be able to walk in the ways of God because you're not gonna believe it. Look what he says in 10:17. I always have to accompany these two verses together. Once we just read what it says in 1:17. Look at what it says in 10, Romans 10:17. He says, consequently, not right. Now watch this. Faith. Now we just talked about faith. Live by faith. Your faith comes from hearing the message, the word. And the message is heard through the word about Christ, through the word of God. About Christ. So yes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. So what is he saying? The just shall live by the word of God. You want to live righteously according to your word? This here it is. According to the word of God. This is where it comes from. Out of the Holy Bible. This is where it comes from. Okay? This is where it comes from. We've got to get this. So now, look what we got working here. He's studying the word. He's reading the word. He's asking God, Father, through the power even of His precious Holy Spirit, to teach him the word. This young man realizes how important the word of God is. So important that we need to live by it. Because he realizes only the word of God that's going to keep him in the way of God. Just his word is going to do that. He can't do it. He realizes I can't do it. I can't do it. He says, now look a little bit further. I'm almost finished now. Now look a little bit further. Okay, with my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. Remember, we talk about all scripture is God breathed. That's you know, what he teaches us in Timothy. All scripture is God breathed. He says this way back here in Psalms. Okay, my lips recount all the laws that come from your mouth. All the laws that he had back then that was written on, we saw it in the Old Testament. The Mosaic laws, the Deuteronomic laws, all of these laws, I recount all of them. Remember what I told you? They're in here. They're in there. They're in there. This is what he's been reading. He said, I recount all of these laws. And then he says, I rejoice. Oh, it makes me feel good. Sometimes y'all say, oh, sometimes you say, well, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, we just feel good. But this man said, I rejoice. What does he rejoice in? I rejoice in following your laws, your decrees, your statutes. And I rejoice in it just like somebody rejoices when they got good riches. Okay? Great riches. They rejoice. I rejoice like I just hit the lottery. That's what he's saying. I rejoice with like I just got a brand new car. I rejoice that we just bought our first home. I rejoice when I bought this nice suit. I love this suit, how it fits, this dress, how it fits, this hat, and go on and on and on. These things, just that people rejoice over these things that gives them instant gratification. He's rejoicing when he looks in the word. How many times have you read a word and that word seems to jump out at you? And you say, well, I missed this, or I didn't get this before, or it has a whole completely new meaning for you right now. And you just feel so good. Well, that's what this young person is saying. He's saying that he rejoices in not just hearing the word, not just looking at it, but in following it. And following it. He's rejoicing in following God's law. I'm rejoicing when I don't steal, don't kill, don't covet anything that belongs to my neighbor. And the list can go on and on and on. These things I take joy in, knowing that I'm living the way God is pleased with. I am making God happy because I believe this. My faith. Belief. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, but I got it. This young man is showing you I got it. I got that. Okay? And watch what else he says. All right. In this last, this 36, I mean, this 16th verse, I want to read this. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I will not neglect your word. How can we call ourselves believers in the Lord? How can we call ourselves, okay, followers of the Lord if we don't follow his word? What are you following? What are you following? Who are you following? This young person got this. We look on our young people, we frown upon them, okay? And we shouldn't. When we see these young people who are serving God, it ought to give us flashbacks to remind us how it was when we were younger. Some of us say, "Well, I didn't come to the Lord until I got older." It should still remind you of how you were then and how you are now. And that will make you rejoice that, oh man, I was back then. Suppose the Lord had called for me back then before I accepted him as my Savior. Before, suppose he called me then when I was doing this, going there, saying that. Suppose he called me for me then and told me that my time was up on this side. Some of us are saying I'd have been helping to bust hell wide open. That's the kind of life I was living. No, I didn't kill anybody. I didn't, I did, I wasn't a big thief. Wasn't even a big liar. And you're gonna say, "Well, I was raised up in the church, and I found myself going to church all the time and all that." But in all that I was doing, I had never accepted the Lord for myself. And I'm so glad he let me stay around long enough to understand and to realize that it is by grace, through faith, that I was saved. My faith, not my faith, but my faith in the Lord, in his word, where he told, and looking in his word, remembering, if nothing else, what he told Nicodemus: you must be born again. You must be. This young man said, "I got it." This is what he was rejoicing in. This is what he was enjoying. As a young person, his laws, remember, he's talking about the laws, the decrees, the statutes, all of this is what he was enjoying, rejoicing in it. My gosh. Okay. So, beloved, I want to say this before I depart from you. I want to say this. Okay. When we ask the question, how important is the word of God? Or how important should it be to a young person? I don't care whether they're young in age. If they're young in age, yes, they have their own challenges as well. Some of us think because we're adults, our life is so more important than a young person. Oh, but I tell you, young people have a whole lot of challenges before them as well. A whole lot of temptations, a whole lot of things that the devil used to keep them from becoming mature Christians, to keep them from becoming witnesses, to keep them from becoming God's ambassadors, to keep them in such a manner that they're the Lord. Not only can he not use it, but they won't want to be used by the Lord, because that won't be in their minds, because they'll be so caught up with everything else that's going on. These things aren't all sinful either. They aren't all sin, but they're used to distract, to keep a lot of us who are saved from doing what the Lord actually wants us to do. No, it's not a sin even to play video games, but it depends on what kind of game it is. It depends on what the theme of that game is, and it also did depend on how much time you're spending on it. It's not but 24 hours in a day. If you're making sure that your child is getting at least 7, 8 hours of sleep, and they got to go to school for, let's just say, for sake of discussion, another 7 or 8 hours, It ain't but maybe 8 hours, 8 to 9 hours left in the day. And if you're going to tell me that you're going to allow your child to spend 5, 6 of those hours playing video games, how much time are they doing, really, doing anything of any good quality in their time? These are things we have to think about and look at and understand that our children are going through. Okay, our young people. And then you say, well, maybe we're not just talking about young in age. Again, you're talking about somebody who's young in their Christian walk. Well, same thing for us. You're grown. You already have a lot of your time already taken for you. You have to work. And if you have children, you got to spend time with them. You have a mate, a husband, a wife. Okay, you got to spend time with them. Need some quality time. And you too are going to be faced with your different challenges and your different temptations, because that's what Satan does. That is his job. You know, a lot of us forget the fact that you are already in a fight. You're already in a war. When you became saved, it's almost like some of us who have been in the service, the veterans, it's almost like when you get there, okay, here's your gear. Put this on. Your rifle, your uniform, and everything that goes with it. All right, get on out there. And God has done the same thing with us. I'm giving you armor, but I want you to also know that I'm right here by your side. I'm right here with you. Okay. I'm giving you everything you need so that you can succeed. But you got to get out there. I didn't save you just so you can sit around on your seat of do nothing. I saved you so that you can get out in the fort in the fight. And what are we fighting for? We're fighting for souls. There are people out here that need to know the truth. There are people out here that needs to know what it is you know. The laws that you take pleasure in, they need to know them. And that's what I want you to go out and teach them these. And I know when I send you out there, it's going to be people out there that want to destroy you. I'm sending you out there just like a lamb among wolves. Wolves ain't going to go out there and look at you and, hey, how you doing? Let me walk with you. Let me talk with you. Let me help you. They're seeking to devour you. And you have to understand that. You're mine. And I'm sending you out here among those who all they want to do is devour you. Oh, yes. You say, well, how do I know all of this? It's in the Word. So, yes. Yes, beloved. When the writer says to live by the Word of God, according to His Word, when we look into His Word and see so much, and so much that is happening around us, to us, in us, for us, through us, it's good to know. It's good to know. That in all of this, the Lord still has us in His hand. All is confirmed in the Word of God. That's why this young man got so excited. That's why he was so elated as he started reading, continued reading the Word, realizing, oh man, I'm going into rough territory. Oh, but God is with me. Okay, oh, I'm going in the shadow of death, destruction, and terrible things happen around here. Oh, but God is with me with His rod and His staff. You know, and every time he looks in there and sees something that could possibly be negative in the world, he finds out, oh, he said, don't worry about what the world is doing. I have overcome the word, the world. Oh, this is why he got so excited. Y'all know the feeling. You say you love the Lord, and you know what it's like when you read a passage of scripture. You may have read it up 100 times, but it's on this particular day, when this at this particular time, when you're going through this particular thing, and that word just opens up for you. Oh my goodness. And this person who hasn't gone through a whole lot, don't have a whole lot of experiences, good or bad, but when they look into the word, it excites him. And he's rejoice makes him rejoice. So yes, how important should the word of God be to a young believer? You should be just like it is to this young man. It should mean everything. It should mean everything. Because God means everything to them, and he wants his word to be everything so that he can live according to what God wants. For us, I don't care if we're seasoned, mature believers, the word of God should mean just as much to you now that it did when you first got saved. It should mean, matter of fact, it should mean even more, because before you got saved, or just when you got saved, Satan, from that point on, he's been on you tough. So the word of God should mean more to you, because he's going to put more on you. He's going to put more things in your path, more things to try to deter you. This, I'm talking about Satan now. He's going to put all of this stuff in your way. And you need the assurances, the promises that come through God's word. I'm going to say this to you and I'm done. The word of God is what those of us who believe him, believe in God, go by, live by, so that we can stay on the path that the Lord has already put us on. You remember, did he not tell you that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord? Don't think that the way that you walk now is by your doing. God has you on this path. And to stay on it, you got to stay in his word. God bless you. God bless you. I said that I would give you some information. I can do this. I'm going to do this way. I get better at this. Okay. I'm going to give you first our number, okay, where we should be reached. And if you call there, and especially those of you have your cell phone, or even if you have an email address, I'll get information to you. First off, let me give you our number. You said here, so why am I looking for this number? Because, beloved, I'm at the point where I don't remember everything like I used to. Okay. So I write stuff down. Now, I know those of you out there remember everything, and remember how it was when we didn't have these cell phones and the address books. We knew everybody's number, but that's not so right now. Our number, St. James Missionary Baptist Church, our number is 215-644-8052. What I would like for you to do is you can give me your name, your pertinent information. I need your name. If you want me to give you information by text, you can give me your number, but to put all this in text sometime is quite lengthy. So I prefer your email address, and I can send it to you by way of email, because some of it is lengthy. If you want our email address to reach me, you can reach me at Pat. This is our email address. Pastor, Pastor, at, the at sign, St. James, STJAMES, M, the letter M is in mother, MBC, all of this is one word, St. James, MBC, Philly, Philly, .com. We can be reached through that email. Again, that's pastor at STJAMESMBC Philly, Philly, dot com. Okay, that is our email address. If you would like to visit our website, which I will hope you do, because you'll find there's a lot of information there, not just you'll find some sermons there, Bible studies, and if you even look a little bit later on in a little while today, you'll even see this podcast on there. You have access to it. If you go to our website, you'll also have access to our Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube pages. All of those will be, you have access to all of those. And our website page is very easy. It's Saint, say again, it's the same thing, Saint, without the pastor, at part, St. James, MBC, Philly.com. That is our access to our website. Again, so you have the way to contact us, and I'll be looking forward to hearing from you. And when you get to our website, you'll also see places where you can leave comments. You know, if you go through ministries or sermons, you'll see all that. Take a little time and go through there. You know, I don't think you'll be disappointed. Of course, it's going to constantly be growing. We're always adding things to the website so that it doesn't get stale and stagnant. You know, we're going to be adding things to there. We look forward to hearing from you. Again, let us close in in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us. We thank you for allowing us even to look into your word. And we are praying, Father, that as we continue on, it is not my desire to simply talk to everyone for 45 or an hour. I'm looking forward to those who will be able to engage and we can have dialogue. So I look forward to that. And I just thank you for this time that you've given us and pray that you continue to bless us, even allow us to grow. With those who do contact us, Lord, I didn't tell them, but you can, if they ask, I'll make sure that they get the ID number for our Zoom podcast. Not just our podcast, but even for our Bible study, I'll give them those Zoom addresses as well. We thank you, Lord. We praise you and pray, Lord, that you are pleased with what we've done this morning. All this we say in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you.